comes in, you know it's time to begin. And wherever you are, whenever you are, and however you happen to be, we're so glad you've chosen to tune in too. God, took too long. Happy New Year, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year. It's your downloadable commentary for the week. Starting our 11th year. We're a decade into this crazy experiment. I'm your host, Jeff Cannata. That's spelled with two N's and one T. And I am joined by my friend slash co-host slash nemesis. The guy who's been here for 10 years, Mr. Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, everyone. I have my perhaps coolest ranch prediction ever, and I'm going to make it right now, right at the top. No one knows the words to that New Year's song. We've all heard it a million. No, you don't. No, you don't.
You don't know the words.
I see your little video
anxiety?
Hand. No one knows
May
the words.
May all acquaintance be forgot.
Then no. What? Then what?
Something old anxiety.
Never brought to mind.
What? It's another voice on this crazy show. What? Hey. If you've been with us for any portion of the 10 years, you know that this episode, the first episode of the new year, is what we call our annual. The only reason we get to do this show, the only reason we're still here, 11 years going, is because of our patrons at patreon.com/DLCpod. Thank you, patrons. Thank you for making this possible. We didn't start that way, but that's where we find ourselves, and we are so grateful that we can still be going strong. You know, the annual show every year harkens back to that first episode way back January 7th, I believe it was, 2014, where Christian and I started this show, just the two of us. Every year, our annual, we do that again. We do predictions. We look back. We look forward. And we've done that for 10 years. Years. Starting year 11, we thought, we're sick of each other. Let's be honest. We need a third voice. We need our third member of our DLC family. Lana Bashinsky is joining us on the annual.
Oh my God, thank you. I feel like when I walked in here, I knew I was, you know, getting excited, getting nervous for these predictions. But with that level of buildup, I hope I'm not crushing somebody's dreams who is like, ugh, can't wait to just have it be the boys again. And I'm like, what's up, everybody? 2024, no. We in it.
No, this Woo! Is plus one to awesome. We benefit from your presence. Thank you. We're grateful to have you with us. We're grateful that you're part of the family. You are on our Wednesday paid DLC show every single week that our patrons at the Cool Ranch level, right? The Cool Ranch level is what it's called, that get that, that show. We're grateful to the Cool Ranch patrons for supporting us at such a high level. And I love the feedback that we get about that show that happens every Wednesday where Lana is hanging out with us. We're making jokes. We're having fun. And we're interacting with the patrons because every single week Christian posts a prompt that it makes it a two-way street. We've been doing that recently. But this episode is always one of the most fun of the year because we call it The Reckoning. Every single year at the beginning of the year, we make our predictions for what the following year in video games will be. And then we look back at those predictions. We have a reckoning. We are either co-wrecked or we get wrecked. And for the first time this year, we have a website that's been tracking all of that, which, let's be honest, pretty depressing to look at. But still very, very cool.
For some people, for other people, it's pretty good. If an all-star baseball player is batting like 280, I'm pretty sure... Yeah. I'm an all-star. You know what I mean? Hey, now.
Hey, now. Yeah.
Pretty
hey
sure
now.
I have a flawless track record.
Yeah. She's batting 1,000 over here.
The Lenoracle, as dubbed.
That's right. You're... Joining the Canasticator and Spicestradamus. It's Lenoracle.
I'm honored.
So here's the way this episode's going to work. It's a very special one. It's very different. It's not anything like what we do the rest of the year. And it's so much fun. First part of the show, we're going to look back. We're going to have the reckoning. Second part of the show, we are going to talk about some of the games we know are coming in 2024, what we're most excited about looking forward. And then we will end the show with our predictions for 2024, where we go out on a limb, we'll risk it all. Some of us will try to improve our batting average a bit, and see what we predict in two categories. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you are aware, a lot of websites, a lot of podcasts will do predictions. They will do bold predictions. And you know what? We also do bold predictions, but we start at bold. And we go farther out on the limb from there. We go all the way into flavor country. Cool Ranch predictions that are completely unhinged. Reckless, let's say. Completely driving down the road with blindfolds on. That's what the Cool Ranch is like. Tasting a tasty chip. And again, we will say, as we do every year, Frito-Lay, we are open to sponsorship.
I will say, as I look back and opened my very last coffee crisp for recording of this episode, my very last coffee crisp, I would be willing to accept Nestle as a sponsor too. I would be willing in year 11 to rebrand to Coffee Crisp Predictions. Predictions we didn't think would be so good until we tried them.
I like it. Bold and coffee crisp.
Predictions that make a nice light snack.
You know what? I think with Lana joining in on the predicting game, I think we might have to rebrand to Bold and Coffee Crisp. I like that very much.
I'm eating on show. Sorry. Once I opened it, show, I couldn't Christian. Not eat
it's
it.
It's so
I
good.
The right. ideal- decade in and Christian just doesn't care anymore. Before we get to any of that, though, one of the things we like to do also with this episode is to talk about the state of the podcast, because, like I said, this is our annual. This is our anniversary. We started January 7th. This episode is releasing on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2024. And that means we've been doing this a full decade, a decade of our lives, and we've never missed an episode, never missed new content. There's been a new and completely new episode of DLC every single week for 10 years. I'm pretty proud of that. We have,
and we look no worse for wear, by the way. I think we look better now than we ever have.
Well, some of
I'm
us have
been
gained...
doing video. I'm glad we waited 10 years to turn on the video to be like, yeah, no, we look good. We still got it.
We both gained much more facial hair than we started with.
Yeah, that's true.
I've gotten way grayer. You still have a youthful countenance. I don't know how that works.
Stash, I think, removes 10 years.
Does it?
The stash makes me look younger.
10 years right on the, underneath the nose, above the lip. That's where he's storing his 10 years of experience right there.
Yeah. What do you mean I don't have the experience for this job? Look at my mustache. Look at it.
Yeah. 10 years experience right next to a little bit of cup of
coffee
noodle.
Crisp?
Just sorry. Stuck in there.
Cup just of little, noodles.
Cup of noodle. I don't know. I don't know what Christian eats. So I'm very proud of the show. I'm very proud that patrons have decided to make it a priority, that they have actually donated money to us to make sure the show keeps going. I will say, our patron numbers have leveled out. They've grown pretty stagnant. And one of the things that I would like to make a goal for 2024 is to have some growth there. Because I do think that our show, you know, for whatever reason, we've sort of hit this place where, you know, it's not quite as robust as I would have liked. Not as many patrons as I may have expected or hoped for. And while we value each and every one of you, and we certainly wouldn't want anybody to support the show if it's not financially feasible, if it causes financial hardship, we would rather you support the show in other ways, like recommending it to a friend or posting about it online in some way. That's all great free ways to support the show. That being said, I do think there are folks that could perhaps be enticed into being patrons, And I would love to know maybe ways that that might happen. If you're listening to this and you're hoping for some kind of content or some kind of incentive that would push you over into supporting us, we'd love to hear about it. DLCfeedback@gmail.com or our Discord, 5x5DLC on Discord, are great places to give us that kind of feedback. We've been really trying to funnel a ton of extra content into the patron feed. The Wednesday show with Lana, Feeling This with Christian and Alex Solman. Lots of bonus content, bonus episodes, early stuff for patrons, video versions of the show for patrons, ad-free versions of the show. So we're really trying to come up with as many ways as we can to make that support have extra value, but we're also looking for other ways that you may suggest, things that you are hoping we could do. Give us those suggestions. We love hearing them.
One thing we did do, a reminder that folks had asked about, and we got some questions answered about, and we spent some time digging and looking into it, but folks were asking us about annual billing on the Patreon. So we had turned that on. I guess we talked about it last week. And so as a reminder for maybe folks who missed that there, annual billing is on, and it's an 8% discount if you do annual billing. And that is helpful to us in the way that it reduces transaction costs for paying out that stuff of like every time, you know, you use a card and it has a fee and who pays that fee, blah, blah, blah. And also if folks change cards in the middle of a month or whatever like that. So it is helpful to us if you want to do that. And so that's why we also wanted to pass on that helpfulness to folks who might be looking to subscribe, or a way to kind of gift an annual subscription.
And savings,
so that is a toggle,
right?
And savings.
You also 8%. You save 8% if you buy a whole year at once. So if you find yourself some extra holiday scratch, or you'd like to gift a patron subscription to a friend, it's an easy way to do that. Now has been turned on. Thank you for that. Anything else you'd like to add, either of you? Alana, you have been more integrated into our ecosystem over the last couple of years. And boy, it's been so much fun hanging out with you every single Wednesday. It's really the highlight of my week, getting to laugh and joke. And also the book club has been an awesome addition. We brand that DLC as well. It lives on my YouTube page, but the only way to get the audio podcast version is to be a patron at any level. Mm-hmm. And I have had so much fun talking to you about books and reading. Anything anybody wants to contribute?
Probably one of the only things I'd say is I feel like every time I go on the show, I'm like, let me just take a beat to talk about how much I admire you both. This is the first year of the Patreon, right?
I think second year.
Second year of the Patreon?
We started it in 2022.
Man, time, what a concept.
I think.
But like you said at the top of the show, you've never missed an episode, and your dedication to making sure that that content is out there for people to listen to multiple times a week in so many different forms. I genuinely feel like obviously hanging out with both of you, but love hanging out with this community and all of the myriad of wonderful speakers that you get on the show. And so that consistency that you do have, that you maintain year over year, has just been such a touchstone of joy in my life. And I'm so happy that I get to be a part of bringing that to other people. And, thank you so much for having me here. I jokingly said it about the coffee, Chris, but I am like so deeply honored to be on this episode today and, being more integrated into something which I basically immediately fell in love with and continue to love every week. So
that's lovely of you to say. I really appreciate it. And you are loved by us and the community. It's a real treat to have you a part of our family. And now that we've done a decade of this, Christian, I think it's time for us to announce that we're taking some time off. We're just missing weeks now.
You have enough of a back catalog?
Yeah.
Come on.
Our new thing this year is we're just going to miss every other week, really.
We can see you haven't listened to every episode, dear listener. We're taking a few weeks off. Go listen to some olds. On all seriousness, one thing I will say is as Twitter continues to be a cesspool, and perhaps the worst cesspool it's ever been, we do take pride in our guests, and having different voices on this show and having different guests every week and incorporating as many different voices and personalities and perspectives on this show. And Twitter used to be a great way to outreach and to spread the word and to connect with folks.
The way.
It was such a nice community. Yes, there was always terrible stuff online. There's that everywhere. But Twitter was a nice community where you could reach out to other gaming folks, developers, creators, and interact with them in a meaningful way and share what you're doing and see what they're doing. And that is harder now. And so I'm not trying to put the burden fully on our listeners, but we ask often, and this year perhaps more than any other, if there is someone that you love and you know, and if you know they're active on Threads or on Instagram, or maybe they're still on Twitter, and there's a way for us to reach out to them and someone that we haven't had on this show before, we always value your input and we always value those new perspectives and ideas, because we on this show right now are just three people. And I know that there are millions of amazing people out there that we don't know, that we haven't had on the show before. And if there's someone you love, we would love to hear from them. And we'd love to hear from you about those folks so that we can continue to diversify this show and bring the full spectrum of gaming and the gaming community to people each and every week. It's a big pride point for me. And I really appreciate the work that Jeff does in making that possible. And I appreciate all of our guests we've had over the years that take time to hang out with us. And I think it's a core pillar of what this show is, and I want it to remain so.
Well said. Couldn't agree more. This is usually the time of year where we say, hey, start a thread in the Discord. Send us emails. Anybody you'd love to hear as a guest, let us know. Let us know. It is so appreciated. Because Christian and I, you know, we try to keep our finger on the pulse of personalities and streamers and content creators of all kinds. But there's so many more folks than we're even aware of. And it's great to be pushed outside of our sphere and meet new folks. And that's honestly been one of the joys of the last 10 years, is how many new people we've met just because they've been guests on the show. We've reached out blindly cold to folks that we didn't know, and they were so gracious enough to share their time with us, and we've gotten to know them. It's just been so much fun. But since it is our 10-year anniversary, I had these grand plans, Christian, for I was going to reach out to a bunch of the guests past and like have them record a little message. Time flies. I wake up one day and it's 2024 and I'm like, I didn't do it. But I do think it would be fun. You know, because some people are like, why do you even call the show DLC? What's the origin of the show? I do think it would be fun, perhaps, to revisit the beginning of the very first episode, which I hadn't listened to until today, 10 years later, fully 10 years later. Here is how our first episode, and I should note, we've come a long way in audio quality since that first episode. So please excuse the terrible, terrible audio. This is the intro to the first episode on January 7th, 2014.
Welcome to DLC, your downloadable content for the week. DLC delivered the way it's meant to be, completely free. DLC is the show all about games played on integrated circuits, games played on tabletops. It's all about the love of gaming. I'm Jeff Cannata, and I'm joined by my co-host / nemesis, Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
Hey, I want to let everybody know that this rivalry between us is 100% real.
We can't even be in the same room anymore, which is why we have to do the show over Skype. I'm really excited. This is obviously episode one, the very first episode of DLC. So I think we should explain a little bit about what DLC is. Of course, you know, DLC is Downloadable Cannata and Downloadable Christian. It's the digital lifestyle companion for people who don't like cynicism. Huh?
I wanted to see just how much rope I could give you and how many more DLC abbreviations you could rattle
like
off.
40 on a list right here, man.
Oh, man. For people
basically,
that don't
the
know,
only reason I decided to do the show is so I could make puns and come up with different abbreviations for DLC.
There you have it. The origin story of the show. What do you think, guys?
I was like waiting for Christian to say something consistent. That's so heartwarming. Oh my God, how wholesome. I can't believe that you call him your nemesis in the first episode. My brain would be like, oh yeah, probably like 5 or 6 episodes in, you'd have like certain things built up, but like remarkably unchanged.
Well, a little less enthusiasm on that first episode. I was a little, you know, low key. Yeah.
I like the throwback intro music, you know, yeah, the Tesla yeah. 5-hour energy presentation intro indeed, music indeed. Being thrown out there. For I've mentioned this on the show before, but for folks who maybe haven't heard it, I was sitting in my closet, in a tiny, tiny closet, hunched over, holding a little microphone as we were set up doing it. And I think on that recording you played, I said Skype. I think we were using Skype. What's wild, too, is just how much the technology – like there were better microphones available than what I owned at the time, but there wasn't much better connection, you know, like the internet was fast enough, but to be able to do what we do now and video and have the audio come through crisp and clear. I remember those early episodes where one of us would talk and it kind of ducks the other person's audio and trying to do all of that live in real time remotely.
The great irony is we had an audio producer.
Well, that sounded as good as it could at the time. Yeah, that's nothing to dog on.
We literally had
a
producer listening in and coordinating guests. We also, I didn't include this in the soundbite, but we took live calls. Like you could call in on your phone in the first few episodes until we realized, oh, this isn't working well at all.
That's chaos.
Yeah, it was. We had a phone number you could call in on your phone and try to take calls. Yeah. Yep. We've come a long way, Lana. It's been a decade. But I'm happy to still be here. Grateful to you, Christian, for being there with me every step of the way. And so grateful for you, Lana, to join the team and be such a vital part of what we're doing. And grateful to all of the people listening. If you were there day one, or if you just found us today and this is your first episode, we are grateful to have you listening and hope you stick with us and find value in what we are doing. All right. We have a lot to get to. So enough reminiscing. Let's get to the painful stuff. Because we got to get to the reckoning. The reckoning approaches. But first, let's take a quick break for a sponsor. We, again, do bold predictions and cool ranch predictions, or we did last year. And so we will step through them. I believe we each have 5 bold predictions. So let's start and find out how well Christian did with his first bold prediction for 2023.
Here we go. A new Naughty Dog game in 2023.
What constitutes a new Naughty Dog game? Brand new content, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll leave remake or remaster out of this.
Oh, with the last sentence, he just pulls defeat from the jaws of victory.
Well, they didn't hit the year anyway. It did not come out. You know, it's a 2024 remaster. New mode, big new mode. I got this wrong. Don't get me wrong. That is a wrecked. That is a wrecked. I will not try to say it is a correct. That was a wrecked. But I will die on the hill that it was almost correct. I still really think that multiplayer game was supposed to early access. Like that was this year. They had a big key art presentation with Keeley. Come on. Yeah, I got it wrong, but I got it emotionally right.
Lana, you know, Lana, this is her first year participating in our prediction, so she's not going to have any chance to get wrecked or correct. But I believe you should be here as the impartial judge. There's no emotional correct, right?
There's no emotional correct whatsoever. No emotional correct. Even like, you know, I feel like Naughty Dog saying we're going to do a big multiplayer mode. To me, that was a Cool Ranch announcement when they said it. And so seeing this is sort of like it falls to its natural conclusion, which is nah, dog. Yes,
so we all agree that I got it right. Perfect. Love it.
All right. Well, I think you'll find that I am I will be getting quite wrecked this year. So here we go. My first bold prediction. There will be a Nintendo Direct the week that the Super Mario Brothers movie comes out, revealing the next mainline Mario game. Or maybe there won't. I don't know. It's either way.
I guess, you know, maybe emotionally there was one.
There was a new Mario game that was released this year, so there are words in my bold prediction that if you reconstitute them would make it correct.
Just place the clip. I predict Mario movie and new game Mario.
Believe me, I was tempted. I have the power of the editing. Nobody goes back and listens. They rely on my editing. And I couldn't.
That's true.
I would love one year for you to be like, and here's our completely authentic predictions. And just have not even words from the predictions episode, just words from the whole year.
I have been tempted together. Before to be like, all right, I had one final Cool Ranch prediction. And I'm like, just saying everything that happened in the
God of War Ragnarok free DLC will be titled Valhalla, and it will be a roguelike mode that will launch on, I don't know, December, I don't want to say too much, 11th, and it will be but we can't, you missed that boat, because DLC Reckoning has been created now, and it tracks us and scoreboards us, and
also a movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once will win the Academy Award. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily an exact prediction of the title so much as what it's about.
Yeah.
Yes, Christian's mustache looks pretty good. And Lana, I'm so excited to have you on the Reckoning show at the end.
I predict the winner of the Super Bowl will be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So 0 for 2 with the two of us. Christian's second bold prediction, also a Mario prediction.
Jeff, here's how you do a bold prediction, because my next bold prediction is in 2023, we get a new Mario game from Nintendo. See how broad that is?
Very vague, that could mean very
easy. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is that? But that's what I wrote down, new Mario.
And he's like, what does even get me? Get me news? Does get mean, like, I have it in my house? I don't know. What is get? This is why Spystradamus has the high batting average, because he just – the vagaries are beautiful. It's beautiful. But also, spot on, we got a new Mario game.
And a mainline – like a real deal new Mario. You can't even – I don't even have to force this one to be correct. I don't even have to wait for Lana to pat me on the back. It is as correct
you
as
you left
correct.
A gap in the door there so you could sneak in, like if there was like a Mario Tennis or some sort of – like you could have just been like, yeah, Mario was in Super Smash Brothers DLC that they released.
would Mario Tennis not count as a Mario game to you, though?
No, that's what I'm saying, is that Christian, I'm all Mr. like, on this particular date, they will announce it. And Christian's like, there will be a red colored cover.
Jeff's prediction is there'll be a new Mario game that is a 2D side-scrolling platformer, but it actually won't be a variation of the new Super Mario Brothers series. I wonder what the name will be. I don't want to say, and I'm just like, there's a new game coming out. You know, keep it simple.
Yeah, one of my predictions this year, around October, there'll be a spooky game that people like.
Nintendo will continue to publish games. All right, so Christian, one for two, pretty darn good. Here's me with another swing and a miss. Amazon acquires a major developer, or maybe they will in 2014. They did in 2014, and they did not do in 2023. I really thought Amazon was going to make a big play in the gaming space last year. They did not. While they continued to, you know, support games like New World, and you know they're not in the gaming space. I really thought 2023 was going to be the year that Amazon made a move, and I missed that one.
I think it's a solid prediction, though, just because Amazon is so.
It sounded good.
Big, and they have so much money. You'd think that it would happen, but. You know what? That one does feel emotionally right, but it is not. It was wrong.
I am shocked that Netflix made bigger moves in gaming in 2023 publicly,
right,
than Amazon seemed to. Luna still exists. Rest in peace, Stadia. Luna still exists and they still give out free games to Prime members and stuff like that. But yeah, there haven't been these big announcements. And Netflix, what, a couple weeks ago, they announced and released GTA Trilogy on mobile. They had exclusive games come out. They've hired folks. That is not what I would have guessed, that between these two tech companies who kind of takes a bigger swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good news, though, if you are like Christian and I and was a founder of Stadia, they extended the time to convert your Stadia controller into a Bluetooth controller until the end of 2024, which this sounds like a joke, but I have literally been using my controller's box, inside of which rests the controller, as a stand for something. I was like, I need something that's about yay high. Ooh, that Stadia controller box works real good. And the controller's in it. So
it's a good controller. It's my GeForce Now bedroom screen controller. It's a good controller. I like it.
Good controller. All right. Let's let Christian be wrong again. That's much more fun for me.
My prediction is we get Fable gameplay this year. I don't think we get the game to play.
We went on to say in that section that there wouldn't. Christian was like, "There will not be just a cinematic trailer. It will be a gameplay trailer," which we did not get gameplay. Christian,
I'll fight. I'll wait. I mean, Lana can chime in, but I will fight on this one. That trailer was a cinematic with gameplay moments in it. That was gameplay when it was a third person perspective and they're doing the stuff you do in the game and it's made in engine. It wasn't a live demo. That was gameplay can get.
I'm gonna say nah to that. I think, especially, you know, maybe I'd be like, okay, there's like a weird semantics thing happening, but then you say as gameplay can get, and that's just flagrantly untrue. Gameplay as gameplay can get is having actual gameplay, because that's what it says. It doesn't say in engine. It says actual gameplay footage at the bottom when it's actual gameplay footage in trailers, because they want to generate the hype. And they don't do that when they want people to be like, maybe that's it. And then they know that they would disappoint. So
I love having Lana here.
Trailers. I will talk over Jeff as he tries to say nice things about Lana.
Can I just say it's a delight having a judge. We should have done this 10 years ago.
You're pulling up a trailer to show me that it says in engine? I think, yeah, maybe this is just me being salty.
And still, in engine is not gameplay.
In engine is also like, we get it. People have good engines now. I want to see the gameplay.
No. Comments. Oh, fine. I kept some notes. I should have kept better notes because I have links for other things because I keep my recipes.
I have this image that I personally photoshopped actual gameplay footage at the bottom, and I think it looks pretty authentic. So, it technically says it on it, and therefore,
Lucas Coles on Twitter, someone said earlier, you guys nailed it. This looks insane. Can you share any more details about what in-game means here? Are we talking engine running real-time on hardware or pre-rendered engine in-engine scenes? This is the game captured on a Series X.
It's not the game.
That's not gameplay. That can be in the world, zooming through, showing some stuff. But that is not the gameplay.
I think gameplay.
So the game just played itself?
The definition of gameplay. What
do you think, you just program it?
I think the definition of gameplay is HUD. HUD is like you.
What if
see
there is no HUD? What
looks
if there's no HUD?
I disagree with that. I think it's the clearest with HUD, but I think like you want to take glamour shots of the gameplay, but you would put actual gameplay footage if it was actual gameplay footage. They simply would, and it could be like these are the actions that you do, and it could be things that are done in game, but it's still something that is fake it till you make it. We've created this action that is the entire sequence that I've hit the one button on the controller and it goes through everything perfectly and looks great for the trailer, but it's not actual gameplay footage.
I don't know. I'm reading articles on True Achievements. What did you think of the Fable gameplay? They're using their own engine.
Interesting.
It's gameplay. I didn't say you'd see someone play the game.
Let me tell you.
Wow.
You should be in publishing.
Wow. Thank you. Man, I've been trying. I've been away from this Kanata guy for years. You know, it's been 10 years.
And Mark from marketing showed up? Is that what happened?
Yeah. What we're going to do after this is when this gets this VOD gets posted on the Patreon, there's going to be a long-running list of trailers that show what's clearly gameplay that don't have the Lana required asterisks of like, it's just going to be gameplay. Because people know gameplay. When they see gameplay, it's like the Supreme Court looking at pornography. You know it when you see it.
Let me just say, I clearly am the only one here that respects the impartial judge. That's what I say. All right.
All right. Roll the next clip.
Rolling the next clip. Here's me. Very much not ambiguous as to how wrong I am. A major major known Sony franchise is brought back on PSVR 2. I mean, I want to be like Christian and argue Gran Turismo VR mode is an old Sony franchise on PSVR 2, which we didn't know about when at the time of me recording that. In fact, later on, Christian's like, oh, would Gran Turismo count if they had a VR mode? And I was like, that's the end of my prediction. Maybe. I think that I could get partial points for that. But I, unlike somebody else on the show, will respect the judge.
Well, here's the question. I don't think there's a partial point situation. It's like a binary thing. You're wrecked or you're co-wrecked.
Well, true. Although on DLCReckoning.com, there is partial points awarded. But
I need a word for partial points.
Here's why I would be respect? Willing to accept either way, but my gut would be it's on the wrecked side of things. Gran Turismo Sport already had it for PSVR 1, and it was officially announced. This was officially announced on like January 3rd.
Yeah.
And so
we didn't know.
It had been talked about because the last game they did literally had it on the last VR headset they did.
Canosticator!
But what I would have, it stinks because I think, I don't know when it was announced, but I also think RE4 VR, it's not a Sony franchise, but it's like a beloved franchise.
It's not the whole picture.
Yeah. For me, that's not, the it's spirit like, of what I was saying one. Was that it would be a franchise that previously hadn't done anything like this. And I get it. I'm wrong. Yeah. I get it. I'm a big enough man to handle being wrong constantly
to give you even but more credibility though. There's an old Reddit thread about it. Like any hints about Gran Turismo VR coming out now that they've announced PSVR 2 and like one of the most upvoted things is Gran Turismo 7. Good luck, idiot. The whole game is built around 4K 60 FPS. That will never change. No VR. Yeah. Cut to like 3 days later, they announced VR. That Redditor was like, delete account.
All right, we are up to our fourth bold prediction. This is from Christian Spicer.
Oh, a cutout. What?
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
This is where I just continue to play back Jeff's from last year. I think this is the year we get new Gears. That's my next bold prediction.
New Gears of War is what he means, and of course...
No, I just said Gears. You get tchotchkes, you get...
Yeah, on my bicycle. It's a 10-speed.
I meant someone's going to invent a new type of gear.
Yeah.
Do you know that they
shifted
didn't?
The show.
They didn't. You're not on engineering blogs.
You clearly don't go to gearpatrol.com, which I'm assuming is a real website. To respect the new gear.
I had a very similar fourth bold prediction that also involved the creators of Gears of War. Coalition announces a new IP before Gear 6. They did not.
They might, though.
They just haven't yet.
Yeah. Roll it over.
Exactly. Not all the way wrong yet.
I do hope when they show Gears 6, someone on that team listens to the show and they go, they do like what Starfield, you know, we want to show you Gears 6. But before we do that, we're announcing a new IP.
And I will thank them. I will send a very kindly worded thank you letter.
You've been sending please do this letters for months.
Yes. Could have happened in 2023. Would have been nice, but all right. Here's a fifth and final bold prediction from Christian. And I just want to say, I love this one so much. This is why I do these. This is why we do The Reckoning, is for the moment you're about to hear.
E3 is great.
That measurable? You can't make that as a prediction. E3 is great. Turns out I was the one who was wrong, because it was extremely measurable. It didn't happen at all.
So was it bad? Huh? How could it be bad if it didn't happen? You know, that sounds pretty great to me.
E3 is great.
How is that measurable? You can't make that as a prediction. E3 is great.
You meant great in the amount of gravitas it feels, knowing that it's never happening again.
It was so more people, not great that it literally ceased to exist.
Hey, more people talked about E3 this year than last year. You know? Does anyone know your home address right now, Jeff, because of E3? I don't think so. That's pretty great. They didn't dox an entire industry.
I love it so much.
Hey, look,
I love it so
E3
much.
Cannot be great, and so can my predictions sometimes, you know? So not everything can be.
My final bold prediction, pretty terrible. A big budget, live action Pac-Man movie is announced. So here's why this is bad. They had already announced that there was a Pac-Man movie in development. So I sort of was cheating and also wrong, because no additional information came out in all of 2023 about the thing that I had already been announced. That was me getting up to the plate and just hitting myself in the head with the bat. It's like, why is that guy doing that? Do we even consider that a strikeout? I think so.
Yeah.
Terrible. I mean, it's not as bad as
E3 is great.
It's not as broadly understood how bad it is, but I would say kind of as bad.
Yeah, not good. Definitely not good.
No.
And that
Do you know where that Pac-Man announcement was going to be made? At E3. That's the problem. They're going to have stars out on stage.
They
They're
scrapped
have
the whole thing
Pac-Man.
Because of how... Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Pratt playing Mrs. Pac-Man?
Really would have been...
What can't he do?
Really would have been the thing to make it great. Okay. So that concludes our bold predictions. Bold, a higher probability of being right. Not the fact that it actually worked out that way. We were still really wrong. In fact, I think we determined that I went 0-5 and Christian went 1 or potentially 2-5. Right?
I would say saying 1.
All right. Impartial
and
judge
I'm
says 1.
I'm saying Lana's dead to me is what I am saying.
So let's get to Cool Ranch, which is bold flavor country. It's the bolder, even bolder than bold. We are in full-on flavor country where you're so far out on the limb, you're just throwing darts at a wall. And yet, here comes Christian Spicer crushing dreams.
No Half-Life Alyx for PlayStation VR 2 in 2023.
Come on.
Got him.
Nailed
Looking
it.
Looking back, that seems destroyed. Easy to make. Because it launched strong, but there weren't big announcements. But this, again, we were predicting this right after the big announcement of PSVR 2, their next big hardware thing.
Hadn't come out yet. We didn't even know the full launch lineup yet. And Christian went in there and just, just really insulted me, frankly, and then turned out to be right, which is like salt in the wound.
Lana, if you want tips for when we get to our predictions for this year, if you want to change any of yours, the way I've had a tiny bit better success than Jeff is I think, what would Jeff like to see? And then I just say it's not going to happen. That's right. just
That's right.
Yeah. E3 is great.
All right. My first Cool Ranch prediction out on that limb. I think there is going to be a game that is announced in 2023 that leverages the current trend in AI technology. But it is basically the concept of raising, chatting with, nurturing, talking to, interacting with an AI character as a video game.
Now, you went on too long.
I went on too long. That's been my long-standing mistake. I saw an ad for a mobile game where you could talk to a pretty lady, and it would become your girlfriend. I don't know what it's called. I didn't click on the ad.
That's because if you click on the ad, the game is a match three. It's never what the mobile game ad is. Yeah. The game is.
And also like nurturing, like raising, like people are leveraging that modern, you know, quote unquote AI technology in like quests and stuff like that, right? They are leveraging that in games, in popular games. And if you had just said like a game like explicitly leveraging that, it'd be great. But going on to the specificity of like the game is centered around that technology.
Yeah.
That's a wreck.
I got wrecked.
We're close, though. I mean,
I checked myself and then I wrecked myself.
You didn't check yourself. And thus
wrecked myself. All right. Second Cool Ranch prediction from Christian Spicer.
Halo Infinite pivots to something else.
Is irrelevancy something else?
Pivoting into oblivion?
I have several links for this one. Several. I mean, where it pivoted is they're dropping the Halo engine and they're switching to Unreal. They're not going to make 343 isn't really in charge of Halo anymore. They're kind of overseeing outside development. They've stopped active development and franchise coordination of Halo and Halo Infinite campaign. And the DLCs have been scrapped that were planned for Halo Infinite. Those have been completely scrapped. They're not coming out anymore.
That's not pivoting to something else.
Your vagueness is so, I'm like, how do I rewrite my prediction?
Yeah, exactly. Learn from the Spicestradamus.
Pivoting from one engine into another, that is literally pivoting into something else. But my argument is I feel like the intent is that it pivots into like noticeably into a new sort of genre space that is palpable. I love Fortnite back in the day.
Exactly.
But it hasn't done that. It's still what it sort of has been. It's still Halo Infinite, still Halo multiplayer, etc. Yeah,
the further discussion that we had on the episode was you said, I don't know if it's like a battle royale mode or something, but you did reference Fortnite as being the model here of a thing that's one kind of game and it's a live service and it pivots into a different kind of game mode, which
what I heard you say is that
has not happened.
What I heard you say is I made a prediction. And then after that, I said, I don't know. And then I made other comments, which means my prediction of it pivoting to something else when it pivoted away from planned story DLC campaign and scrapped those and got rid of the other big changes that they were going to make to the multiplayer and went into a we're just continuing it thing.
But that's them scrapping things, I think, is a pivot, but that's not pivoting into something else. That's just scrapping what they had planned. I think we would have had to had the presence of the new thing, but because of the clip that Jeff pulled, which is just it pivots into something else and it is pivoting into another engine. I'm like, you're not wrong. It's just not. It's your clip, Jeff.
I know. I clipped myself before I flipped myself.
I'm going to say you're technically correct based upon the sample.
Well,
I'm not going to say they didn't travel on the pivot. You know, they pivoted and then they picked up their other foot and pivoted again. You know, it's traveling, sure. But I fight tooth and nail. I did not go to law school, study all those weekends in the basement, write those law review articles, practice for years to then stop doing that so that I could podcast and make flippant predictions that I wouldn't die on the hill arguing in support of.
Okay, two observations. Firstly, this is going to be a 3-hour episode of the show. I can tell already. Second, I think the fact that we have DLCReckoning.com has sent Christian over the edge. Now that there's hard data for and tracking of all this stuff over time,
Look, I know that.
Here are last year's. I've been tracking myself. I have links, whether I get them right or wrong. It's all there.
Look,
I love it.
I know that this is going to be a problem for me and now for you. You're welcome. And also, I'm sorry. Because I'm going over my predictions and Jeff is just going, I really think you're wordsmithing this in a way that's unhealthy. It's like, you're very concerned about being right. And I don't think that's the point. And I'm like, you don't understand the point.
Here we go. All right. Here's my second Cool Ranch prediction. Valve announces a game subscription service. Or maybe they don't, you know, one of those
I was
two.
Like, did they?
No, they did not. I thought
Meta
that
did. Based,
what?
Meta did.
Yeah. A number of people. I think Samsung is doing one. Like, there's lots of people that are doing it, just not the people I said. it really seemed like a solid bet. I mean, it was Cool Ranch. Let's be fair. It was Cool Ranch. But it was a solid bet in the sense I thought because of the Steam Deck and, you know, this idea of, like, now they're a hardware manufacturer in a real way. I just thought that made a lot of sense. But, you know, you lose some, you lose all is my motto. All right. Christian's third Cool Ranch prediction.
The next mainline Nintendo console, it's portable also. I don't think they're going to have a separate portable and a separate home. I think from this point, for the foreseeable future, the next Nintendo console is also a portable of some form or fashion.
I feel like that's a no-brainer. Yeah.
And because I'm making that prediction this year, I think we hear about it.
You do think we hear about it. I feel like the last bit there is where we turned into wrecked country.
Yeah.
Because
I'm happy to say when I got it wrong.
Lots of rumors. But we don't know anything about Switch 2 or Switch Pro or Super Switch or whatever the heck they're going to call it. But I think we all think it's going to be handheld. Well, we don't know for sure because Nintendo has been mum about it still.
For me to confirm that this one is correct, I would have to break my NDA. Oh, crap.
Sorry, I'm getting a knock on the door. Reggie... Fiamia is here.
You know what?
And it told me to shut this whole thing down.
It is worth it. To get this one correct, I am going to break that NDA. Look, here's the design.
here's the photos I took with my phone. All right.
They'll understand. It's for the reckoning. They have to understand.
If they didn't want me taking photos, they shouldn't have let me wear my Google Glass.
Exactly. What? These are prescription.
It's a prescription little box on the side of the frames.
All right. I also had a Nintendo Cool Ranch prediction. Nintendo announces a new fitness peripheral for Switch. I am not proud of myself.
I'm shocked. I might have said this then. I am shocked there hasn't been a Ring Fit 2. I feel like Ring Fit was awesome.
Yeah.
It sold
everybody
well.
Thought so. Lana thought so. Lana was
I
the
love
one who was
Ring Fit.
Talking about it so much on our show.
That was like one of my first episodes on the show. I remembered raving about it. I still love it. Actually, moving in here, I was really excited. The first thing I said was, well, you know, I have enough space to do Ring Fit again. Love that thing. I bet if it, I'm not going to say that. No, you're wrong.
There you go. You're learning. Yeah. Zip it.
Nintendo letting us all down. All right. Here comes Christian being right again.
I don't know if it's GTA 6, but I think we get new Rockstar shown this year by Rockstar. I think 2023 is the year of Rockstar, whether it's Bully 2, you know, the long rumored Bully 2, or Red Dead 3 somehow is before GTA 6, or like, I think this is the year that Rockstar starts peeling their own onion and just starts showing something big.
Onion peeled.
Wow. Good job. I'm like so distracted by these beats behind the old clips.
That's our flashback music. That's how you know you're flashing back.
I was so nervous for this one. I put in my notes like, oh, they released Red Dead on Switch. Does that count? Oh, Jeff's going to hate me if I argue for that one. And then the GTA 6 reveal came out, and I was just like, woo!
What's worse is that later on in that clip, I literally say, I don't think we're going to hear about GTA 6 this year. So
no one would have known that, Jeff, but for you mentioning it again right now, you can keep that to yourself.
Keep talking. This has been my most catastrophic year by far. By far. It's a Travis Shamockery that I'm even allowed to make predictions. I have to hang up my canosticating cape.
No, this
my
is what
cape
you did.
Canosticator.
You just set the bar so low so I wouldn't be as intimidated coming in. So really, you predicted that I might join this year.
I love that Lana's part of this. You're right. Yeah, that's what I was doing. Yeah. All right. Here's my last Cool Ranch prediction. This one I even said at the time was more of a hope than a prediction, but either way. Sony releases drivers for PlayStation VR 2 that work with PC. Like official Sony support for plugging your PSVR 2 into a PC. That felt very Cool Ranch to me even at the time. It just seemed like something that there was the tiniest shred of a possibility. It felt like highly improbable, but I wanted it to be true so bad. And now I don't even care because MetaQuest 3 works with Steam VR seamlessly, beautifully, wirelessly. And so I don't even now I don't even care about that.
That's where spiritually that prediction is correct. Because if you had made at the time that Steve would announce that Valve and Steam would have official wireless drivers for a MetaQuest headset, it would have sounded as ridiculous as Sony supporting it. So like something did happen big with VR in terms of compatibility.
Yeah.
You just were looking for a fastball and they threw you a curveball.
But well, that honestly, was a it
good
seemed-
prediction.
It's based on Sony's support, you know, porting so many things to PC. It seemed more probable than Meta doing it. Meta doesn't wanted a closed garden, didn't want anybody touching the headset. They want to control everything, and yet here we are.
Yeah, Game Pass is on it. Steam Wireless is on it. Yeah,
wild, and yet wrong. Okay, final Cool Ranch prediction of the year. This is Christian Spicer bringing it home.
My last Cool Ranch prediction is part of what makes E3 great. Mainline Metal Gear Solid.
Without Kojima.
Yeah.
It's part of what makes E3 great this year, guys.
I am curious Lana's thoughts on this, and I won't argue. I am curious, Lana, and how folks feel about we got the Metal Gear Snake Eater announcement at E3 time. It is a mainline Metal Gear, not positioned as a remaster or remake, positioned as a retelling, but it was not at E3, but it is definitely without Kojima.
It is a remake. It's 100% a remake, Snake Eater Delta.
I haven't played any of the... Oh, God. I just choked myself in my...
Lay it down.
I haven't played any of them.
It is a Metal Gear Solid 3's story. It's a remake, but it is like that full remake where they don't even call it Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. It's called like Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater Delta. Some, you know, weird, but it is definitely that game, but it's not Resident Evil 4
Yeah, it's definitely that game in that it's a game that Kojima worked on that they're putting out again in a different form.
But with new VO, new everything. I'm not going to die on this hill. I am curious folks' thoughts.
This one is tough because I do feel like the intro is hilarious with part of what makes E3 great. But I think that's just like a fancy tee up to the prediction, which is Metal Gear Solid, which I think was like a pretty solid prediction. And so I feel like the preamble wasn't part of the prediction, IMO. And the part I'm stuck on is if it is like really a brand new game. And
Does it count as a mainline Metal Gear game?
I think the fact that they did it without Kojima, it's kind of like a big, giving it to you. I think that's more correct than wrecked. But it's like hard not to get distracted by the E3 TM.
Jeff, will you play the E3 comment one more time for us, please, as we leave 2023?
E3 is great.
I love the music on that one too, just because
it's really good.
Like, it's so just helpful. So happy. It's like, what could go wrong?
It's very good. It's very good. You know what they say about Christian's predictions? They make an ass out of himself, I think is how
Here's where I got to give you mad props. We see on DLCReckoning.com your batting average is far superior than mine. I would argue maybe I take bigger swings. I would argue maybe I'm out there on the limb a little farther.
Coach, don't cut me. I'm swinging so big. I take such big swings, coach.
Be that as it may, I got to give you the recognition you deserve. I went, I think for the first time ever, 0-for. I didn't get a single one right. And that's embarrassing. That's hard to swallow.
Biggest swings, but always at the helmet, directly at
really
your
right
own
at my own
helmet.
Face. At the face. Yeah. Down goes Frasier. I wonder why anyone even listens to my opinions on the show at all. As based on my level of understanding the most basic level of what's going on in this industry. But I appreciate everybody hanging out with us, and it's a super fun time to get wrecked. Even if we I like to get a little co-wrecked in there, the sprinkling of co-wreck. But congratulations to Christian, you got some major ones right. Some major. I mean, I think the Rockstar one, baller prediction, that was like hardcore right on.
E3.
Oh wait,
is great.
Yeah, no, you. So we did get some right, some right and some wrong. All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about some of the video games that we know about coming out in 2024.
Because they were all shown at E3.
They were all shown.
It was so great.
I would honestly say, I think we know. I mean, maybe I just don't recall. It's hard to remember back every year at this time. But I feel like we know less about the year coming up than we usually do with regard to releases. We know a lot of stuff about the first two or three months of the year, but all of summer is basically wide open. We don't know anything that's coming out in the summer. And there's like big fall games, major question marks as to what's going to be big fall games. And obviously there'll be a lot of stuff delayed into 2025. I think honestly we know more about 2025 in a weird way than 2024, which is pretty wild. But there are some huge games coming out in 2024, and I'm sure there'll be a bunch of surprises waiting for us over the course of the year. So Lana, I want to go to you first. Is there a game or two that is the top of your most anticipated 2024 releases?
The number one most anticipated for me, Hades 2.
Mm-hmm.
I played an unbelievable amount of Hades. I know
Christian
neither
and
of
I are not familiar
of,
with that game.
Heard of it. But I I have heard of it, and I'm very excited for the follow-up. I feel like I have no words to describe my level of excitement for the game, so I'll just say Hades 2. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that share that level of excitement. I mean, Sledgehammer, or no, not Sledgehammer. What are they called? Pews an S.
Supergiant.
Supergiant, thank you. Supergiant, they just don't put out bad games. Like every single, even Transistor, which is, I think, my least favorite of theirs, was still super awesome. And, you know, Hades was so phenomenal. I just think that they're not going to allow a sequel containing that franchise's name to be anything less than stellar. And so I'm right there with you. I think Hades 2 is near the top of my list for most anticipated 2024 releases. We don't have a date for it, I believe, right?
And I think it's supposed to only go early access.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As they did with Hades and I think all of their all of their releases for Supergiant. Christian, what's your number one most anticipated that we know of right at this moment?
So we don't know a ton of games, but there are a ton of games that, assuming they hit 2024, seem incredible. And so I kind of want to step outside of what I think I know exactly what the game will be. So I'm going to be my typical self here and say two. I'm going to say one that is a very safe bet for what I'm super excited about, and that's Star Wars Outlaws.
Yeah.
That looks incredible. Looks
so good. Yeah.
I love that they're doing – it seems to be that they're doing a non-Jedi story – but they're also still doing a lot of what makes the Star Wars universe incredible. That is my safe bet.
I would argue that game is probably of the stuff we know is slated for this year. Now, could very well be delayed. Could very well be delayed. But of the stuff we know is slated for this year, I think that is the biggest game of the year right now, right? There's going to be stuff that's announced. There's going to be bigger, you know, all stuff to rival it. But I would argue that looking at the sort of known knowns, Star Wars Outlaws is going to be the biggest game that I see on the list.
I would agree because it's multi-platform. I think Final Fantasy is maybe bigger.
Mm-hmm. Seven Rebirth is what you're talking about.
Rebirth, yeah. But it's an exclusive.
Yeah.
My swing that I hope is great, but it is a genre that is not my favorite, even though I have certainly favorites in the genre, is Hyper Light Breaker, which is also going to be early access. Hyperlight Drifter, the prequel, if you will, but it's such a different style of game. I own probably as many versions of that as I do Resident Evil 4 at this point. You know, I have it on mobile, I have it on Switch, I have it on PC, I'm pretty sure I have it on both consoles. Like, I really love what that game does. I love its energy, I love its vibe, I love its combat, I love its music. And to see them take a swing like Hyperlight Breaker, which goes third person and this big, beautiful vista, seems incredible. And to see them do kind of a No Man's Sky-esque approach of procedural, and it seems like what they've talked about, unending content, or, you know, just potential, seems jaw-dropping. But I'm a little concerned about the rogue-like, rogue-type elements and maybe how that procedural, that bigger push into procedural content will play out. But what they've shown, it looks stellar. I just don't know if it'll be a for me type game, but fingers crossed.
I think it's so interesting that both of these games we're mentioning are early access. I'm like, can we even, does that make them a biggest game of 2024? Because early access doesn't make them eligible for awards. It doesn't mean anything. And typically, even if I know that I'm going to love a game, I don't play it in early access.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a good question. I mean, a good point. If that was the case, I would have been talking about Baldur's Gate 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. So. I let single episode DLCs be my favorite game of the year. So I have no problem with an early access game being my favorite game.
It's not released yet. It is my favorite game of the year.
Christian pushes back against all rules. He's a rebel, Dottie. My game, I mean, Star Wars Outlaws, certainly very close to the top of my list, but I think even above that, I'm very excited for Avowed, which is the new, big, huge open world, first person role playing game that looks like, you know, it looks like a Bethesda Studios type game, coming from Obsidian. Obsidian makes great role-playing games. I think it's an awesome studio. Avowed looks awesome. It's going to be Unreal Engine 5. It looks gorgeous. We don't have a release date yet for it, but I think all indications are pointing to like a mid-year May type of a release. So, I mean, I suspect Avowed feels like a game that could be in contention for my top five of 2024. Like, it really does feel like my, you know, my catnip. And I want it to be wonderful. I want it to be great. And I'm very excited for that. There's lots of other stuff that we know about. I'll let you guys pick out some. But I think the Princess Peach Showtime game, which you know is coming in March from Nintendo, looks really fun and different. Super excited for that. Christian, I'm sure you're excited for Alone in the Dark.
I want to be. What they've shown looked interesting, and then I think the delay, what they talked about in the delay, seems promising. I like that genre, and I remember liking that game when I played it when I was a wee lad. I'm very curious what it is, because I think survival horror or even just spooky games are at an all-time high right now with RE4, Alan Wake 2, the Dead Space remake, even, you know, the Souls genre. Lies of P was not full Bloodborne spooky, but it was a creepy world. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very curious if Alone in the Dark can maintain that quality threshold that we've been at so far.
Yeah. Lana, do you have another?
Yeah, I think the Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, and in a similar sort of, that's like a side-scrolly one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And similar side-scrolly vibe.
It's soon. It's very soon.
Yes. Yeah. Tales January. Of Kinzera Zao, which was just announced at the Game Awards, which kind of gave me like Ori gameplay with ultimates is what I would describe it as. Both of those, I've loved side-scrolling journeys in the past, Ori, Hollow Knight, etc. And I'm excited for two more, like, very colorful, beautiful looking games in that space. And then I have a couple more that I am very interested in, not because I care that much about the genre, I've played other ones, but the animation I've been following for a long time looks stellar. Grand Blue Fantasy Relink and Zenless Zone Zero both look like very cool, dynamic games that I'm excited to play just to see how they feel.
Did you, I have two games that I'm curious if you ever played in their original release. Did you ever play Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons when it first came out, Lana?
I did not.
Oh, I am so excited for you to experience that game. The remake, of course, is coming out February 28th. It's among my favorite experiences. Yeah. It's among my favorite experiences, and I think you're going to absolutely love it. Play it with side by side with your husband. I think you guys will have a wonderful time with that game.
All these remakes that are coming out, like, so many people, I know a lot of people are like, oh, these remakes. And to some degree, I'm like, yeah, I want new content. But because I have such a blind spot, as I talked about on the show many times in my history, where I couldn't or wouldn't play video games, it's kind of all of these video games. And so I'm like, yeah, baby, give me another one. I'll play it in the newest quality. Yeah.
The other one that I am absurdly excited about is a game that, you know, I adore and I think is groundbreaking and amazing. The Braid Anniversary Edition, the 20th Anniversary Edition, is coming. If you never played Braid, that's another game that just expands your mind of like, oh, what video games can do, what interactivity can do.
That's Jonathan Blow, right?
Yes, it is.
Correct.
And this
I love The Witness, so.
Oh, yeah. I know. The Lit was so perfect. The Braid will – the Anniversary Edition will have like commentary and all kinds of kind of bonus features that will delve into the making of it. I just think it's going to be a very special release. It's coming in April, end of April.
Cool.
I'll throw out two others. Hellblade 2, which I think is a game that we've perhaps seen more of, or it's been used for marketing more than almost any game. It feels to me like it's kind of the face of Xbox in many ways in terms of how many times they've shown it and the graphical tech. I thought the first game was incredible. I thought its use of sound was incredible. I thought the graphics were incredible. I loved the important story that it told and how it told it with care and respect. I'm curious what this second game will be. I'm curious if they kind of advance the gameplay, advance the combat, or maybe dial it down in a way where I felt like in the first game, sometimes for me, the combat got in the way of what I was there for, which is more of the story and the experience. And I'm curious which way this game leans. And then the other game that we've talked about on this show and was delayed now into 2024, but I still think looks exquisite, is the Plucky Squire.
Yeah.
It looks like the type of game too. That,
yeah,
Tearaway or what Nintendo so does, or Astrobot. It looks like it just has joy in it. And I'm really excited to see that come to life on screen.
I totally agree. That is on my list of most anticipated games. Plucky Squire just looks so charming and so inventive, and it just looks like one of those games that's going to – like Brothers of Tale of Two Sons, it makes me just love interactivity, and it just looks very special.
Did you ever play Chicory?
Say again?
Did you ever play Chicory?
Chicory? No, I don't
think
so.
The art style kind of has like a similar vibe, but in like got 3D elements. But if you haven't played Chicory, highly recommend. It's a very sweet game.
I know a lot of people are very excited about Helldivers 2. That's an early February game. Mario versus Donkey Kong coming out in February. And the remake of Paper Mario, I'm excited to revisit as well. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting stuff. There's just not those like titanic major things that you know we know about for 2025, like a GTA 6 and you know other things.
Monster Hunter
Suicide
Wild.
Squad might yeah. Suicide Squad might be that for folks. It just seems like its release has the announcement was tepid with the first developer deep dive. The response was tepid. I mean, that isn't in many ways. It's from a prestige developer of a prestige franchise and characters launching in the early part of the year. I think if I personally am not super, super excited for it because what they've shown isn't the type of game that usually keeps me sticking around for a long time. But if that comes out early in the year and hits the way they want it to, and then if Tekken 8 does what Street Fighter 6 or Mortal Kombat 1 did in terms of really bringing something to the fighting game space. And I think there's a lot here that can carry people forward, but it's also unfair to compare any year to 2023.
Right. Yeah.
I'm wondering how much of 2024 people are learning or like development has caught up such that they don't have to announce so far out, or that they've seen like the success of like, by the way, this is out in 2 weeks. And like the resonance that has with, I wonder how much we're pulling back from those release dates being so far that we just haven't seen a lot from this year because people are hyped to do the hot drops.
I think that's a great point. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's literally 3 or 4 months on the calendar with no announced release dates. I think that's absolutely the trend. And I'd say more power to it. It makes this episode less exciting in a way, but I think it's much more palatable as a video game fan to hear the announcement of something and find out it's going to be playable in just a few months rather than being like, you know, in 2 years we'll be playing whatever. I do think that's a great point.
Imagine how great E3 is going to be this year where they get to hot drop all these.
So great. Undeniably great.
How do you Tekken even quantify 8? If it's great? How do you quantify that? I don't know.
Tekken 8, of course, is going to be a big fighting game installment. That's coming out in the early part of the year. Christian, you're now a huge Like a Dragon fan. So I'm sure you're excited about Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
I didn't talk. I mean, I think I talked about it on a couple of shows, but yeah, I rolled those, and I'm very curious if the other combat style will keep me hooked in the world, or if I kind of liked the updated brawler. I'm curious to see. And the good news is, it won't cost me a lot to find out because Microsoft just keeps backing up those dump trucks full of money.
Yeah.
To bring games to Game Pass. I think it's announced for Game Pass day and date, if memory serves, but. I don't know. I'm still full on holiday sweets, and everything I say on these prediction episodes is all about E3 being great.
It's going to be great. Luigi's Mansion. I know that Banisher's Ghosts of New Eden is supposed to be a pretty interesting game. That's early February. We know a lot about the first 3 months, as you might expect. Just not a lot past that. And I'm very excited about World of Goo too, because I love the first World of Goo, and it's been a minute since a World of Goo game came out. That's, I think, nearly a decade since that game had an installment. World of Goo, super clever and fun game. I think that Windblown game looks really cool. We saw that at the Game Awards.
I'm surprised that you didn't mention Wolf Among Us 2. I feel like that would have been your jam, both of you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll say it for Tim the Trixler Frazier then. So if he's listening, I got you, buddy.
Cool.
And then probably two that I, if I didn't call out, my husband would murder me. Visions of Mana and Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, yes, of course, Dragon's Dogma 2. Thank you for not letting me forget that. I know that's a huge, huge release that people are excited about, which is what? We have a date for that, don't we? Yeah. Oh, March 22nd for Dragon's Dogma 2. Yeah. And Rise of the Ronin is another – it's like new IP, PlayStation exclusive, sort of first – I think it's a first-party game, right? First-party Sony – game looks pretty cool. That's another one. That's one of the few. That's one of the very few. I think it's honestly going to be a year with very few actual Sony first party games. It feels like so many came out in 2023 and 2025. We know, we know a lot about Insomniac's plans, sadly, because of that leak. But I think, you know, maybe there'll be some major surprises. I suspect we'll get a few. Maybe Bend's new game. We don't know what they're working on exactly. There's a few other studios that we don't exactly know what's happening. But I think this is going to be a year, 2024, where PlayStation will have to rely more on third-party stuff. And they have big stuff like Rebirth, you know. Rise of the Ronin, I think, is one of the few kind of Sony exclusives that we know about right now. March 22nd is that game. All right. Well, an interesting year. Like I said, I think we know less than we normally might. And there's not those gigantic things. Although there's a few. I'm really excited for Avowed. And Star Wars Outlaws, of course, just looks spectacular. So we'll see what else we find out. And in fact, I suspect some of us might have some predictions of what we might find out. So let's get right into it. Crawl out on that limb with a new... A new challenger, a new combatant has entered the arena. Lana Bashinsky joining our predictions. Let's start with bold predictions for 2024, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. It's on. Lana, as our newest,
oh God,
newest participant, why don't you start us off?
Oh, I'm so afraid, but I'm so excited. Because this is my first year doing this, I obviously don't know... like the gauge of what feels bold or not, but I'm just going to dive in. I think my first bold prediction naturally has to be about Blizzard and Game Pass. My prediction is, this is probably the one that I'm going to shoot myself in the foot on the most out of all of them. Heroes of the Storm is on Game Pass.
Heroes of the Storm?
Yes.
Wow.
All heroes free. And the WoW subscription is now just Game Pass, priced at a higher dollar amount that is only marginally cheaper than the current WoW subscription.
I love this. I love this as a prediction. The Heroes of the Storm feels the – I love this as a twofer, which, again,
it's learn all from – Blizz on Game Pass. I didn't want to be like, here's my predictions. It's all about Blizzard and how it interacts with Game Pass.
I love it. I love it. You know, but you got to learn from the Kanosticator because more ways to be wrong. But that's okay. I love
that's
it.
That's the only one. That's the only one.
Jeff, hold on. Hold on. Let's just let Lana talk a little bit longer.
I said pretty specific.
I love it. I love it. She's in this game to win this game. I was going to let Christian go next, but I feel like mine is so similar to this that I got to jump in with a bold prediction.
That's bad news for you, Lana. That's bad.
Because it's similar but different. I actually – that is bad news for you. Don't be anything like that. Actually, mine is very different because I don't think it's all Blizzard on Game Pass. My prediction is by the end of 2024, Call of Duty and Diablo are on Game Pass, are included with the app, Game Pass.
Oh,
I was Call of Duty and Diablo –
with our powers combined, we're going to be totally wrong.
So now that your prediction is over, Jeff, and so that's the sound clip you can take for the next year's show. One, thank you for always doing that. It makes the episode so much more fun. Your prediction is over, but now I'm going to ask you to elaborate prediction-free zone. This is a safe zone, but I'm going to ask you to elaborate new Call of Duty comes to Game Pass day and date, or just kind of old back catalog Call of Duty, or all the Call of Duty?
I don't think they want people playing old back catalog Call of Duty necessarily. I think it'll be Diablo 4 on Game Pass at the end.
With the new expansion, maybe, like timed with the new
green something. Whatever it's called.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it will be the new Call of Duty. But again, any Call of Duty will be right prediction.
Yeah.
All right, Christian, what's your first bold prediction?
Something Valve VR. I'm not done with my prediction yet. I'll get a little more specific.
He actually got more vague. I didn't think it was possible, Lana. He managed to find a way to be more vague.
My first prediction.
Insert variable X, comma, variable Y.
My prediction is adjective, verb, and noun.
As it relates to gaming. I don't know what the problem is. My first prediction is just like those Latin words that you see like automatically filled in documents when they're, you know, just gibberish.
Yeah, ipsum.
Ipsum.
Yeah.
I think it's the words to the New Year's song that nobody knows. Something Valve VR, in the sense that, how do I want to do this on the record prediction? Okay, let's just go for it. Take a swing. They will announce, talk about VR hardware that they are attached to. And so whether or not that is their own standalone device or...
He's dancing on the tightrope.
Yes. I got to dance. I'm going to fall off anyway. I got to dance while I can. Whether that's their own standalone hardware a la Steam Deck, which, you know, gun to my head, that's what I would lean toward, or a branded partnership like they did with those first Steam boxes or whatever. But that went horribly for them. So that's the prediction and the reasoning behind.
I think that you have a good I think there's a very good chance for Index 2 in 2024. I think there's a very good if not released, but then at least mentioned. So I actually think this is a pretty solid prediction, even if the way you said it was equivocating.
Can you say it one more time, Christian, just for the sound bite, really crisp?
Nope, I cannot.
Nope. Let Jeff edit is what he said.
Have you heard that joke? Do you know why everybody hates a lawyer? It's because they listen to Christian make predictions on DLC, I think is the punchline to that. I think I might be a year early on this, but the reason for this is, or my prediction, is I do think that them testing Steam Link on Quest is them testing the waters for them to have a standalone headset that doesn't, like, how good is this? Are people happy enough with what we can do wirelessly that we can release a full wireless headset and still make games like Half-Life Alyx so we're not constrained to internal hardware? And they already did that with, I think it's Arizona Sunshine 2, where if you buy it on Steam, you get the desktop version and the mobile version. Yeah. And so I think that's their push. And so this is bold in that I think it happens this year, but I think they've been signaling that that's what they want to do, is a standalone headset that still is able to harness the power of a beefy GP.
In fairness, that's also what happens in the Oculus ecosystem. If you buy it on the Oculus store, Arizona Sunshine 2, you get it on Oculus wired headsets and on as a mobile on Quest. It's cross buy, and there's a number of games that are like that. All right, Lana, your second bold prediction.
My heart rate like elevates every time. Okay. My second bold prediction is Sony Santa Monica releases a teaser trailer for their next IP.
Ooh, I'm so going this next. Is not a God of War game.
No,
I'm going
not a
next.
God of War game.
All right, I like it. Christian Spicer, do you have something similar?
New additional Sony Santa Monica was the predizione.
All right.
So we will walk it back both, a little bit.
Are you both
say
saying this is not related to an IP that we already know of theirs? This is something brand new?
I would hedge my bet.
Yeah.
You?
Oh, wait. So for that question, this prediction is over.
Yeah. Fair enough. Prediction is over, but what do you think?
I'm basically saying not God of War.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's like whatever their next IP that they're working on is.
I like it.
And maybe it's a re-envisioning the same way that God of War was like old IP, but very, very new. I think it'll be a new flavor.
I love it. I also think it's too early, especially since we just got that DLC. I think it's too early to hear about any other God of War thing. So yeah, if there's a new Sony Santa Monica, it figures to be something different. And they're such a great studio that I would be excited about whatever they announce.
I'd guess Atreus DLC. I think it's something story driven.
What he's doing over here. Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
They give us a little bit more of that story.
Dad is stuck in Valhalla and boy, he's going to be doing something else. Interesting. All right. My second bold prediction is the reason this is bold is because it hasn't happened yet. And so I think it becomes
that predictions work.
That's how we're doing. No, but I mean,
this isn't like they already talked about a Pac-Man thing and you're predicting it incorrectly.
I mean, it should have happened already. It should have happened already. So it's becoming less and less likely to happen. So it's getting bolder and bolder is what I'm trying to say. Native Game Pass support arrives on Steam Deck. In 2024, Ooh. We get native. You can get Game Pass. You can put it on your Steam Deck if you do some stuff. Hmm. But I'm saying there's going to be native support. You'll have a way to play Game Pass games on Steam Deck in 2024, sanctioned by Microsoft.
Native cloud or native on hardware?
I'm done with my prediction.
This episode now is just called I'm Done With My Prediction.
I said good day.
Native cloud is likely. I think native on hardware is less likely.
Yeah, I agree.
Lana, number three, bold prediction.
I hate that I'm making this prediction, and I hate that I feel like it's a bold prediction. We will see at least one major, beloved, and shocking studio closure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does seem like the way of the world. I really tried to resist making any
like sad predictions like that.
Well, like layoff predictions, you know, like it felt like there's probably going to be more layoffs coming in, you know, the next year. But I think this is not that. It is sad, but I think it is an interesting position because I think the thing that makes it bold and interesting is that it's a major studio, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't an acquisition. This is like shuttering it.
Yeah. I think that this year, just to like contextualize this a little bit, and sorry for going to like sad zone. I feel like, you know, being on the development side of things, 2020 was like a roller coaster ride for so many reasons for everyone. And then I think we saw some of the fallout of that through this 2023 with like an incredible number of layoffs. And I fear, and I hope I'm wrong, that we are not done seeing the fallout of the 2020 bloat. And I don't know how that goes, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong at the end of the year. But it's so present in my mind that I couldn't help but say something about it.
Christian, your number three bold prediction.
This feels less bold after having gone through our biggest games of 2024, but I'm going to stick to my list. I believe I texted, or maybe I posted on the Discord when I had made, like, I've got them locked and loaded. I think I texted you both that, like, I had done this. So I can't change my list mid-episode. It does feel a little less bold, but my prediction is a consensus 2024 Game of the Year pick is currently unannounced. So who's to say what the game of the year is, you know, Alan Wake 2 or Tears of the, like, there's, you know, different outlets rank different ones, but like a consensus, no one argues like there's no way that's a crap game. Like a consensus pick, a big, big pick. We currently don't even know about.
I would say it's hard. It would be harder for me to come up with a consensus pick from the games we do know about. You know, I mean, maybe Outlaws.
Final Maybe Fantasy VII. I think Rebirth has a really good shot.
Yeah, possibly. But I think this is a fairly safe, bold prediction.
Well, I think
that's a nice light snack of a prediction if I've ever heard one.
It's not.
I think where this might bite me,
like, it needs a little salt.
Like, like some game will come out and or like be like an amazing game, and I'll get all excited thinking I nailed this prediction, and then I'll Google it and it was like Beyond Good and Evil 2 and it was first shown in 2014, you know, or something like that. Like, it's been announced, we just forgot about it.
All right. What number are we on? I don't know. Three or four? Three? I think
three. 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 Okay. I think you're on your third.
Switch 2, or whatever it's called, is fully backwards compatible and offers increased frame rates and resolution for Nintendo first-party titles.
All so, like Switch part, like old Switch titles. At the exactly. back, like so
Switch
Breath of the
1
Wild.
Games that Nintendo has released. I don't think they're going to do it for every game. You can't just plug any Switch game and it'll be better. But I do think Nintendo, like Mario Kart 8 will have a higher frame rate, higher resolution on the second Switch. Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild. They'll be the first party games will have added benefit and it will be fully backwards compatible.
I hope I'm going to find like the one game, like Treasure Tracker doesn't. I'm going to go through the library and Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze already ran at an amazing frame rate. It runs no better on Switch 2. I hope that's true. That'd be huge. I would love to see that, whether it's DLSS or, you know, some like AI up-resing and upscaling that makes it happen. But that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I do think that's bold, though, because I feel like Nintendo would be like, nah.
Buy it again.
We'll re-release it and you'll buy it.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly why it's bold. Yeah, because Nintendo, would be like, or you can buy a subscription that allows you to get. Yeah.
Now added to Nintendo Switch Online Family Plan. Your old games with better frame rates.
If you buy our subscription, we will allow you to connect to the internet you already pay for so that you can download the things you already bought from us.
Certainly more likely than my destined to be wrong prediction. All right. Lana, number four, bold prediction.
My number four bold prediction is... there's a specific piece that makes it bold, and that is Nintendo announces the next console Q1 2024 alongside a beloved Legend of Zelda remaster.
Ah, like Wind Waker or
Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask.
Interesting. So not a Mario, not a Mario. The system seller will be a Zelda remake. That is a very bold prediction. I like that.
I don't know if it will be the system seller, but like it is like a flagship piece of it. Because I imagine they'll be like, here's the next Switch. And then it'll just have a trailer that's about the technology of it.
Right.
But I think that like, and here are the things that you should be most hype about. Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, some kind of beloved Zelda remastering will be on there.
Very bold, very plausible. I love it. Christian Spicer, your penultimate bold prediction.
Before I say that, I will say that Nintendo's burned me so many times that all my Nintendo predictions are Cool Ranch. At this point, you know, fool me once, Nintendo, shame on me. Fool me twice, Nintendo, you are in Cool Ranch territory. You are out of bold. My fourth prediction is a new AAA. Positioned as AAA, however you want to define it, you know, I'm not talking about marketing spend necessarily, but that in our gut, we feel it. It's a AAA game. A new AAA positioned IP is announced by Microsoft. Microsoft right now has all this legacy IP that they just got with Activision. They're bringing back Perfect Dark, allegedly, still. They're bringing back Fable. They're doing a lot of this stuff with legacy IP, but I think we are going to get, and Avowed doesn't count. You know, something that hasn't been announced yet, like a new IP that is a big AAA game gets announced from Microsoft as like a big deal, you know, fireworks go off type of like, this is a big announcement. We have another tentpole to kind of go toe to toe with Sony and their big stable of AAA first party games.
Like that year they announced Two Human and Mass Effect at the same year. They're like, we're going to do these two trilogies, Two Human and Mass Effect. That, by the way, great E3. Just a great E3 was great. A universally acclaimed great E3.
Were those announced at Microsoft? I don't even remember.
They were announced at Microsoft's E3 press conference back to back, I believe, back to back. But in the same conference, it was, we're doing two trilogies. One's called Mass Effect. It's from BioWare. And the other's called Two Human. It's from Dynasty Dayak. And they'll both be trilogies. We promise three games from each of these franchises.
Well, this will be a Microsoft studio, which they own all of them now. So how great would that be if it's Microsoft by Silicon Knights? So it's Dennis Dyack announcing a new, no, I don't know about
Does
that,
Silicon
but a new
Knights
Microsoft.
Exist?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's my fourth bold prediction. Someone other than Capcom will release a AAA game on PS5 with a PSVR 2 mode. It can be played in the same way that Resident Evil 4 Remake, Resident Evil 7, that, you know, they are, and the same thing with GTA, you know, it's like that, or not GTA, GT, Gran Turismo, the way that you can play the game as a normal PlayStation 5 game, but also you can play it on PSVR 2, AAA game, big deal, but it has VR support.
That'd be great. Do you think, prediction over, do you think it's a new game or do you think it's a VR mode for a game that's already out? Like, we're adding VR support to God of War Ragnarok, you know, play it in VR,
I mean,
or whatever it is.
I would love that. I would love Ragnarok. I think it'll be a new game, but it may be a remake of a game. I don't know. I think there'll be a game that comes out on PlayStation 5 that you play it for the first time and then either right away, you know, or shortly out thereafter, like with RE4 Remake, there'll be a way to play it in PSVR 2.
I hope Capcom just does it for all of their games and no one else.
Do you have a studio in mind that is not Capcom? Just anyone else?
No, I don't know. I just think that it has been, I hope it's been successful for Capcom. I think it's cool. I think the way people talked about Gran Turismo in VR, I think there'll be somebody else that wants to dip their toes into that and be like, hey, we're safely, this is not a VR title that is limited to the VR install base. We're safely releasing it on PlayStation 5 as a PlayStation 5 game, but also it's got this added functionality. I don't know. We'll see. Lana, your final bold prediction.
My final bold prediction is that a cozy game a la Animal Crossing is launched within Fortnite.
Ah, I like that. Farm Night.
Farm Night. Yeah, exactly.
Lego Fortnite kind of is that, but I could totally see them like looking at the data and seeing more people are playing creative mode, you know, within and just like really embracing that. I could see that.
Is it? Because I thought there was like survival elements to the Lego one where it's not like
you don't have
a
to
cozy
play
game.
It. You don't have to play it in survival mode. Like the way my kids play it, it's just free play.
Mm.
I'm not saying there's already a cozy mode in there. I'm saying I could see them looking at that version of Lego Fortnite existing and doubling down on it. Because the way I would say that Lego Fortnite, even in creative mode, isn't quite a cozy game the way maybe Dreamlight Valley or Animal Crossing is. It doesn't incentivize you to do anything. It's literally just free play. And Animal Crossing and a lot of those cozy games, Stardew Value. It's the budget one. You don't want Stardew Value.
That's the one your grandma gets by mistake. I got you Stardew Value. Grandma.
Those reward and incentivize gameplay, you know, the gameplay loops and Fortnite.
When I picture like a cozy game like Animal Crossing, I imagine like cheapified versions of the existing skins the same way they do like the Lego stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that would be adorable.
Yeah. Cutified. Yeah.
Love it. Christian, your final bold prediction.
Well, this is why I'm a jerk and Lana's a hero, because my prediction is what Lana said, just vaguer. my prediction is just another major mode slash game. Like it's a game, but it's within Fortnite. Another major game comes to Fortnite proper. So Lana went for the specificity of making it a cozy game. For all I know, it's, you know, a first-person horror experience. But I don't think they're done.
They're not done.
Well, I think the reason why I'd put this in bold territory is they just did three. Mm. And I imagine a lot of this year is going to be support of those three. And It would not count if they add other modes to Rocket Racing. It would not count if they added a new mode to Lego Fortnite. This needs to be a standalone thing made by Epic. Doesn't count if they elevate, you know, the game that Jeff makes in creative mode and puts, that doesn't count. It needs to be another Epic made, individually launched from within the thing of Fortnite here after they just dropped three huge ones.
I love it. Mm-hmm. All right. My final bold prediction is we get gameplay footage.
What does that mean?
It's anybody's guess as to what that means. We get in-engine and or gameplay footage from Bethesda's upcoming Indiana Jones game in 2024. But it's slated, it doesn't come out in 2024, it's slated for 2025, but we get a tease. We get to see what it looks like.
I'll have more to say about that later.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, later is now because we have moved out of bold territory and into the flavor country. It's time to make this coffee crisp because our coffee crispiest.
The crispiest of predictions.
Predictions. Yes. No nougat, just little aerated holes of deliciousness. I don't know. How do you describe it?
This is resonant. This feels great.
Let's get to coffee crisp with even riskier.
Our Cool Ranch coffee crisp predictions.
I'm picturing the flavors and it's really gross to be out.
The Coffee Crisp Cool Ranch by Sapphire, you know?
It's like bowl games now, you know? Affleck Field presents the Orange Bowl presented from Capital One live from American Express Stadium.
Again, we would love some sponsorships if you know anyone. All right, Lana, get out there on that limb. Give us a Coffee Crisper.
All right, so this one I feel like is out on a limb. But it is in Fortnite again, but it is Nintendo in Fortnite.
They be trying.
I think that Lego maybe opened the door. Nintendo has a Lego thing. Fortnite has a Lego thing. I think that Fortnite, they've been trying with Nintendo for a long time, hasn't happened. I think that it has the possibility to happen, but Nintendo is Nintendo. So that's why it's in Cool Ranch Land.
What was the quote that somebody said about them in their discussions of Nintendo? He said, something along the lines of describe the process of making diamonds. Yeah. It's like, that's how hard it's been. Yeah. That's definitely a Cool Ranch Coffee Crisper Orange Bowl. Christian Spicer, get out there on the limb.
So you guys both kind of danced around it a little bit in bold, but I'm going to Cool Ranch presented by Coffee Crisp. The next Nintendo console is released. And we're still in my prediction. I'm still Cool Ranching Coffee Crisping. We're still in it. It is MSRP'd at $399.
Honestly, that would be the price point I would guess as well. I think
it's higher than they've ever done. I think that's
going to be right. I think that's, yeah, I don't think it's $349. I think it's $399. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think that's...
That it's out,
well,
though.
Now I feel worse about my prediction. Thanks, Jeff.
Releases. Do you have a release window? Do you think it's fall?
If I were to guess a release window, I would guess it's late summer, early fall.
Late summer. All right.
You think it's out?
I think it's out.
I have a Cool Ranch presented by Coffee Crisp Switch 2 related prediction as well. You ready for this? Metroid Prime 4
does not launch
with the second Switch. It does not. It misses the launch. It's pushed and it does not launch. It is not a launch title.
I thought you were saying it never launches during the lifespan of the Switch 2. And I was like, oh my God.
No, I think,
what a long prediction.
I agree with you, Christian, that Switch 2 or whatever it's called launches this year. But I don't think Metroid Prime 4 makes this year.
Hmm. Yeah. I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too.
This bodes well.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take Lana's studio closure over that. No,
oh,
kidding.
My God.
Monkey Paw, close me a studio. It comes out this year, but Retro Studios gets closed. No!
Oh, God.
All right, Lana, you're up to, what are we on, number?
Two.
Two.
Naughty Dog announces an unserious video game.
Oh, you mean like a full-on comedy video game or just
unserious.
One that's not?
So, like, so I mean, in art style, in, I think, even more lighthearted than Uncharted's.
More lighthearted than Uncharted. I sharted.
Something that is not the weight of Last of Us territory.
I like it. I think, honestly, Naughty Dog announcing any new game is already pretty bold. And taking it to Cool Ranch Crispy Country is tone.
I
like
would say
that.
This is more of a hope.
Yeah. All right.
Give me that like Jack it. 4. I'm ready any day.
That's what you really want. I love it.
From the studio that brought you The Last of Us. The Last of Us Remastered. The Last of Us Part 1. The Last of Us Part 2. The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered. Comes Clowns Escape!
Clowns Escape. Press X to seltzer. All right.
Wait, it has a VR mode, so Jeff's prediction is also right?
All right. My second Cool Ranch. Oh, wait, no, wait, was that just me? No, wait.
That was Lana.
That was Lana. Me. Okay, so it's you're up, Christian. Sorry.
I'll stay in Nintendo land at Universal Studios, presented by Coffee Crisp, sponsored by Cool Ranch, and say that Mario Kart is a launch window title for the next Nintendo console.
Mario Kart 9?
I'm not going to say launch. I don't know if it'll be numerical, but it won't be an 8 remake. It will be, you know, they're done remaking 8. I don't know if they'll call it Double Dash or something like that, or, you know, Super Circuit or something like that. But I think launch window, however those are defined, that's not on me. Other studios have created this launch window nonsense. But a new Mario Kart is a launch window title for the new Nintendo console.
I mean, Mario Kart prints money, so they'd be silly not to. Yeah, I love it. Interesting. It flies in the face of my backwards compatibility idea, but here we go. That's okay. My next Cool Ranchy Crispy Time prediction is someone acquires EA.
Was EA, I was talking about this yesterday, prepping for this. Was EA was the studio that was like, a lot of acquisitions if anybody wants to acquire us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just standing here.
Just looking
by the
available.
Window.
I've got an empty
I happen to wear my suit today and a tie. I look really nice if anyone notices me.
I think that's good. I like that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool ranch, but. We'll see.
See, this is where, like, okay, I feel like my bold predictions, I kind of have, like, I'm in the right zone. Cool Ranch, yeah. I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm like, this is this Cool Ranch? And you're like, it's crazy that you'd announce any game. And I'm like, well.
yeah. No, I think you're doing great. What's your next one? Your number three.
Number three, Castlevania reboot.
Interesting. So do you think 2D, 3D? Are we? What are we kind of Castlevania are we talking?
Any Castlevania reboot, what would accept? Yeah,
all right.
I like this. Konami's dipping their toe back in. You know, they are. They're
and the Castlevania show was super successful. And I feel like with you know Sega doing their thing and people see it being hype about the Crazy Taxi, etc. I feel like there's a world where they're like, oh yeah, people like some of the things that we have.
You know what they say: fool me once, Konami you. Fool me twice.
Oh my God.
No? Nothing? Okay. Christian, number
three.
Man, we got to pick up the pace here.
Crazy Taxi will be renamed Cool Ranch, presented by Coffee Crisp Taxi.
love that.
Before it comes out. This is a negative one, so I don't like these as much, but it is a negative one. I've done it before and had success with it. No major AAA style game comes out this year exclusive to Vision Pro. I think Vision Pro will have games, and I think they'll show, you know, the mixed reality version of playing Apple Arcade games. I think there will be some exclusive Vision Pro games, you know, tinker on toys and build things in real time. But I don't think they're going to get an Asgard's Wrath 2. I don't think they're going to get a Resident Evil 4, like an big, like that kind of game,
yeah,
exclusive to Vision Pro in 2024. They might
get VR headset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Apple Vision Pro.
I have a prediction about that as well.
I think that's a pretty safe bet in that there will probably be a lot of games released on it that aren't exclusive. I think the exclusive part is where you're going to be right, because I don't think there's anybody at Apple making the first party game for that headset. And I think a lot of the third party games that will come out on it are going to be on all the headsets or as many headsets as they can.
I just don't know what kind of money they might back up, you know, to make that happen. They have the exclusive next. Gaming. That's what I wonder. Because part of me is like, and that's why, obviously, why I made that prediction. But part of me is like, well, they also just have the newest and maybe best 3D Sonic game exclusive to their subscription service. You know, they have some big games that they've backed money up for. But I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet. But I do think there's going to be a lot of really great games on it. They just probably are going to look best on that, but it can be played on the lots of different headsets. Here's my cool ranchy one about that. 2024 is the year I've been predicting. I think 2024 will be the year of VR AR. And I think that Vision Pro will propel sales of Quest 3. And I think another major hardware manufacturer like Samsung announces a headset. I think we are back into 2014, when it was like VR AR is the talk of the town. And I think Vision Pro is the reason. I think Vision Pro comes out. Not everybody can afford it, but I think it changes the conversation around VR AR. And I think the beneficiary of that is the inexpensive but still very good Quest 3. And I think other manufacturers are going to want to get in on that game. And I think people are going to be talking about it in different terms than they have been, other than me. But most people have been kind of down on it. And I think 2024 will be the year that changes.
Exciting.
I think that Samsung bit's going to come back to bite you. I don't think you're wrong.
I said somebody like Samsung.
I'll accept like Samsung.
So maybe Motorola is
in the Samsung.
Yeah, it's the Razer headset.
I mean, I think Valve will work for me if this, they're like Samsung. I don't know. All right, penultimate Cool Ranch presented by Coffee Crisp prediction, Lana Bashinsky.
I think Apple Vision Pro first major product announcement of like the software you can put on the headset is 0% video game related.
Yeah, I mean that. That's interesting.
0%.
I think that's actually pretty darn cool, Ranch, because there may be a montage that shows somebody doing something fun.
Yeah,
you know.
I bet it's movies. I bet it's memories. You go to their website. Zero video game content on the website for the Vision Pro. And I don't know if that is because they are keeping it under wraps. They don't want to even tease something that there's not going to be a thing that's out there yet.
Interesting.
Or like you said, it's going to change the conversation. I agree in that. I think they don't call it a VR headset. They call it some like a lifestyle device, don't they?
No, they call it spatial computing. Yeah.
And so again, I'm not saying it won't happen like on the heels of it. I bet they have like, you know, what's it called?
their own little direct.
They have a little direct that has it, but the first major product announcement has zero video game content. Zero.
Boy, I think that's pretty pretty bold, because I would, my guess would be the thrust of it won't be gaming, but I bet there will be some little part, little montage moment where somebody's playing a VR game we've already seen before, we already know on other headsets, but they've got it on this one too. And but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I like how
I love a good Cool Ranch, but I feel like they've already kind of had a product announcement video, and in that first one they showed at least two games. So I'm hopeful that the next.
I didn't think that they showed like the fact that they had the hardware. I didn't think they had any product announcements. Like, this is the thing. Now you can buy it.
Definitely
have what you're playing on it.
You're right. They haven't released any notion of software that will be available at launch. That's for sure. Yeah.
They showed NBA 2K, the Apple Arcade version, played in mixed reality mode, and they showed like some like train. Like, it was like a Disney something, I think, if I remember correctly. Like, they talked about a partnership they have for a game that is, I think it's Disney related, as like you watched the little doohickey go around on the kitchen counter.
Video games will be a part of the conversation. I think that, like, I don't deny that those conversations are happening. You'll play games on it. I think that is like a key market for VR right now. But I think when they're dropping it to the public saying, buy it now, this is what you're doing on it, there's no video games on that app.
All my favorite part about Lana being on this episode is that she has to do another year of shows with us, because she has to be back next year.
You're stuck now.
Keep making them.
It's going to be the saddest episode where we're like, I guess we could talk about Lana's pick predictions. She's not here, but
oh my god,
she has better things to do with her time.
If you want to hear Lana's predictions, you can go tune into the IGN's Best of Show Award. Where Lana's been co-hosting for 10 months, now.
Never! Never! Oh, my God.
I never predicted that Riot would stop making games and pivot into a podcast creation company, but here they are.
Oh, last year we had the current VP of content at Riot Games, Lana Bashinsky, on the show, but
not. VP of podcasts. A new AAA... I say AAA a lot. A new AAA DC Comics based game is announced. I don't think they wait long. I think we had Gotham
Batman,
Knights.
Then. So what you're saying is Batman.
Or Superman. So we already have Wonder Woman announced, so it can't be Wonder Woman. Flash, Green Lantern. It'd be okay with a B character, but it needs to be a AAA game. You know, Booster Gold, if they made that'd be awesome. If they made a AAA Booster Gold game, I could see James Gunn maybe being behind that, but I don't think.
Yeah, he said he wanted to have video games part of the new tapestry of the pan media universe that he's making. And there is going to be a big Superman movie in 2025, so this kind of makes sense.
That's that's the prediction, is that a new AAA, and you know, when I get into really like the really crispy, the coffee center of the coffee crisp, I don't think it's long after the release of Suicide Squad. Long, and you know, I don't mean like the next day, but I don't think it's, you know, a lot of times a new IP comes out like that, especially one with a hopeful long tail on it, and they kind of stay away from announcing similar things to ward off cannibalization of product. But I think we hear about another AAA DC comic based game in 2024. When I say I think, I mean I pulled this straight out of my rear end, because we are in Cool Ranch territory.
Rocksteady, you know, the Suicide Squad tanks, and Rocksteady like puts out a press release. We get it. We're going to make a Batman game again. We promise. I'm sorry. We apologize. All right. My penultimate Cool Ranch / Crispy Crisp prediction. Fortnite announces VR mode.
I was this close to making that one of mine.
They're in it, baby. They are the metaverse. They are the metaverse.
You mean by Epic. Not like community creation, like
no, not community Epic. Creation. Official way to play Fortnite in VR. I don't know how that. The reason this is so wildly Cool Ranch and Crispy Crisp is because that it benefits Epic zero to do this, right? Because they don't have a partnership with anybody. They're not trying to promote hardware, but maybe there's something that happens with a new Valve head. Maybe there's a way they want to get into the Apple ecosystem. Maybe, who knows? There's a VR mode of Fortnite that happens in 2024.
I think depending on how this lawsuit goes, maybe. I don't think they're dying to get in the Apple ecosystem.
Right, yeah. No, I
think they're dying to create their own ecosystem on Apple devices. I hope that this is true, Jeff, and I hope that it is a cozy game that is a whole new mode, because then all three of us are just, feasting.
All, we just all hold hands and dance in a circle. All right, our last prediction of the year. Here it comes. Lana Bashinsky, what do you got?
Sony makes a major acquisition of a heavy hitter, for example, Capcom or Squaresoft.
Yeah. I mean, I think Square could be a real possibility. Could be. I mean, they're basically a first party right now. You know, I think it's certainly a possibility. I think that's a very solid predict.
You think it's
or
solid
EA,
in
perhaps,
the sense,
if someone or predicted EA. EA would be acquired.
And then two of us are holding hands and dancing. Yeah.
See, this is where I'm like, that seems crazy. And both of you are like, yeah, seems legit. I'm like, I mean, okay, you know, bump that back up to bold.
No, it's good. It's great. That's on the ranch. That's drinking some coffee. All right, Christian, your final cool ranch.
That's why you can't be concerned about how you label them, Lana, because you come into these things with these labels attached, and then during the course of the show, it changes in a big way, but you're stuck with it. You're stuck with your list. So Jeff going out on a limb earlier makes us feel a little less coffee crispy, cool ranchy, but I'm going to stick with it, my last one, because it feels it to me based on their last showings. But it's Indiana Jones is a big focus of a major Xbox showcase. I don't know what that will be. I don't know if it'll be during the summer. I don't know what it will be, but I think it is a big focus of one of Xbox's big showcases. It's all indie all the time.
E3 is great.
Yeah, I think I may be at E3, which is going to be great this year. Yeah. I mean, mine was a bold and yours is a cool ranch. So, you know, I'll just see who has... You know, who feels...
Well, you said they show gameplay, and we don't even know what gameplay is anymore. Yeah, so.
That's true. Let me tell you, I'll know gameplay when I see it.
All right, my final prediction. And ladies and gentlemen, this is one you can help come true. The DLC podcast goes over 1,000 patrons in 2024. It's pretty cool ranch. It's pretty coffee crisp. But it's partly hope, but you know, we want to keep this show a trucking on, and we need your help to do that. You can go to patreon.com/DLCpod. I know it's a little self-serving as a final prediction, but I think we can do it together. We had so much fun over the last 10 years, and we're starting our second decade of doing this show, and we're hoping that we get to keep doing it for many decades to come. Just prop me up in my wheelchair and I'll keep screaming into the mic. It's been a privilege. It's been a joy to do this show for a decade. I'd like to think that we could keep it moving on for 10 more years at the very least. And I hope that you can help make that prediction come true. I hope we provide content to you that you find valuable enough to support us. And if there are ways that we can do better, please don't hesitate to let us know, because we'd like to keep trying to do that, keep trying to improve.
I am torn by my desire to have that be true with my desire to have you be wrong. Like, it is really...
If we can make one prediction come true, ladies and gentlemen, let that be it. Please. Here's what we'll do.
I want you to predict a specific number, and so I want you to be wrong because it'll be so much more than that number.
Yeah.
I would like us to have so many patrons that we acquire EA.
And have the money to fund Fortnite in VR. Me personally.
Just make them all happen. Yeah. This is so much fun, you guys. Lana, awesome to have you on board this year. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited for the year to come. Christian, thank you for being here for 10 years. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. I am honored and privileged every single time we sit down and chat with each other. It is a joy. You make the show a joy, Jeff. I appreciate the work you do getting everything ready. And it is said by almost every guest, but it needs to be re-said. The way you kick off the show week after week after week, often with bespoke DLC acronyms from episode one. Dice Like and Cardboard was figured out later. Desktop, laptop, and console was figured out later. But every single week, you bring it. And it's a true joy to be here and be part of it. I am super proud of the tiny corner of the video game conversation that we have carved out with this show. And it is a joy and a privilege that folks bring us into their ear holes and into their homes and into their cars and children listening to the bumpers. I'm very proud that this is a clean show. That was something that was important to you early on. And not a lot of shows were, especially then, especially shows that we were coming off of. A lot of times the video game space is not that. And I love that we can be a space for families to celebrate games, but also at the same time, we talk about difficult issues and we don't shy away from things. And it is an honor to be here. And yeah, it's just the best. It's the absolute best. It's a true treat.
Couldn't agree more with all of that. We have to thank all of the guests that have given us their time over the last 10 years. It's amazing to have literally a new person joining us every single week. It's really awesome. And of course, thank you all for putting us in your ear holes. We are, you know, there's no show without an audience. So thank you again. Tell your friends, spread the word, help us out by posting about us on social media or mentioning us to your besties. And we'll keep going. We'll keep going as long as we absolutely can. Thank you. Happy 2024. And until next time, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.